Thank you, Caroline and Leah. Beautiful. Scripture today is from the narrative lecture that we're using this summer, and it's one of those great stories from the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. When they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Thank God for the reading and hearing of his words.
What a mess Naomi finds herself in. Women at that time were not safe without a husband or at least a male figure of some kind to protect them. When Naomi's husband Elimelech dies, when Naomi is left with her sons Mahlon and Chilion, that is all she has. Her sons then marry Moabite women, Orpah and Ruth. Then both her sons die, and now it's Naomi, Orpah, and Ruth. Not a good situation, as I said, for women in those days. It is a really bad situation for Naomi, though. Remember what we heard in the first two verses. Naomi and Elimelech were not Moabites. Their sons were not Moabites. They were from Bethlehem. A famine hit the land of Bethlehem, and so they moved to where they could find food. And that place just happened to be Moab. After her husband and sons die, Naomi decides to return to her land. Her daughters-in-law go with her. She heads back to the land of Judah. Along the way, Naomi tells her daughters-in-law that they need to go back to their mother's home. She wants them to go back to their mother's home, and she says, "May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me." She asks that the Lord grant them security, which means that the Lord would grant them a husband. Naomi knows that the only way a woman can survive in those days is by having a husband, and so she kisses them goodbye. Orpah and Ruth begin to weep and say, "No, we will return with you to your people." Naomi says, "Why do you want to go with me? Does it look like I'm going to have any more sons for you to marry? I'm too old for a husband, and even if there is hope for me, let's say I find a husband and we have sons. Are you going to wait for those sons to grow up? Are you going to not marry anyone until these sons become of age? No, you go to your people. For the Lord has turned against me." Orpah does what Naomi says and returns to her people. Ruth, on the other hand, clings to Naomi, and Ruth says, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me and more as well, if even death parts me from you." Naomi sees that Ruth is determined and says nothing else to her. When Naomi and Ruth arrive in Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest, the whole town is abuzz and the women are asking each other, "Is that Naomi?" Naomi answers, "Call me no longer Naomi, which means pleasant. Call me Mara, which means bitter. For God has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has dealt harshly with me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" Now, many of us do know the story of Naomi and Ruth by heart. If you were here 2 years ago for the Easter vigil that Lindale did on the Saturday night before Easter, Val and Elaine were Ruth and Naomi and did a beautiful job of enacting it out in our gathering space. It's hard to read this and not think of them doing that. It is a special book to me as Brian and I spoke Ruth's words of love to each other at our wedding, in our wedding vows. I'm sure when Brian said, "Where you go, I will go," he was not thinking about Minnesota. But better to follow me to Minnesota than to follow Naomi. I have a job. We may not have family here, and we may feel like strangers in a foreign land, but we have an incredible church family, and we have made many friends here in the Twin Cities. Life is not bad. We did not arrive empty like Naomi. Naomi has lost everything. Everything. She's lost her homeland when the famine hit Bethlehem. Elimelech and Naomi and their two sons had to leave. They go to Moab to survive, and while living in Moab trying to survive, Naomi loses her husband and her two sons. At this point, Naomi has nothing. Nothing. She's not in her homeland, and to try and exist without a male figure around was a death sentence in itself. No wonder Naomi is bitter. No wonder she wants to be called Mara. No wonder she feels as if God has dealt harshly with her. Seriously, she has no way to live unless she returns to her homeland. And let's not forget about the grief. Her husband is dead, and on top of that, she has buried two children. That's not the way it's supposed to happen now, is it? Parents are not supposed to outlive their children. Or so that is always the hope. Naomi is bitter. Maybe some of us can relate to how Naomi is feeling. We have had those days, weeks, months, years when we have experienced the death of our loved ones and it has left us empty. We wake up one day and look around and it's as if we have nothing left. Nothing left, and we feel like an alien wherever it is we are living. Naomi is filled with bitterness, for not only has she lost everything, she now needs to go back to Bethlehem. She has a journey ahead of her, and all she knows about her homeland is that there is food again. She has no idea what awaits her when she returns. I cannot imagine leaving my country for another country because my country has no food. There are thousands doing that in this world today, aren't they? Then living there and having my spouse and my children die. Yeah, Naomi can be as bitter as she wants, as far as I'm concerned. And it is in the darkness of this bitterness and grief and sadness that she lets her daughters-in-law know that they need to stay in their land and go to their mother's houses. For if they follow Naomi, there is nothing, and they will be swallowed up by her emptiness. This is what makes Ruth's determination so surprising. This faithful love that Ruth has for her mother-in-law. Naomi's not her mother. She's her mother-in-law. I was blessed with the best mother-in-law ever. Marion Fail was an angel, and I am a mother-in-law who absolutely adores my daughter-in-law. It's true. I love Kelly as if she were my own daughter. But let's be real honest here. If Marion had ever been in Naomi's shoes and she sent me back to my mom's house, right, I would have gone to my mom's house. And if I'm ever in Naomi's shoes and I send Kelly back to her mom's house and insist that she not follow me, Kelly would, of course, go to her mom's house. Why in the world would she leave her own mom? This is what makes Ruth's words of love so crazy. Ruth is saying that she will follow Naomi wherever she goes, and for now on, the people of Bethlehem will be her people, not the people in her own land. She's going to follow Naomi even until death, and God forbid that even death separates them. I can understand if Naomi was a great mother-in-law that Ruth would want to have her in her life, right? All us mother-in-laws like to believe that about ourselves. But why in the world would she want to follow and vow to spend the rest of her life with a bitter old woman? Ruth is saying to Naomi, "I'm coming with you into your darkest hour. I'm going to be right beside you in the midst of overwhelming bitterness and the emptiness that is so deep you feel as if it will never end. I'm going to walk with you through every heartache, every hardship, even though you have nothing, no money, no land, no nothing. I'm going to share my life with you. Pretty sure that when Brian and I said these words to each other, we were thinking of the romantic ideals of staying together forever. It was a happy day filled with joy and love, and both sides of our families gathered together, beautiful music and flowers. The food at the reception was glorious. With life so good, of course I'll go where you go. Yeah, we'll live in the same house together. Sure, I'll call your family my family. Of course we can get cemetery plots next to each other. These words are oh so easy to say on the day couples celebrate the love they have for each other. But how many of us would vow, would be so filled with a faithful love, or the word in Hebrew for faithful love, hesed, hesed, the love we know from God. How many of us would be so filled with hesed that we would willingly and knowingly leave what we know and journey into someone else's bitterness and emptiness? How many of us would make that vow if the person standing before us was broken and bitter and had nothing to offer us in return? I'm not talking about expressing faithful love in the good times and then the rough spots come along. Ruth is saying, I'm going to follow you and walk with you and care for you, and I know that you can do nothing for me in return. It's her mother-in-law, for goodness sakes. Not even her own mom. Talk about loving neighbor. Oh, and in case you don't remember, she isn't one of us. She is a Moabite. Ruth would not have grown up with the God of Israel. She would have known other forms of gods. And yet it is a Moabite woman who is taking seriously loving neighbor. I know you've got Deuteronomy chapter 23 coming to your mind right now, right? Yeah, I see it on your faces. No Ammonite or Moabite shall be admitted to the assembly of the Lord. Even to the 10th generation, none of their descendants shall be admitted to the assembly of the Lord, because they did not meet you with food and water on your journey out of Egypt, and because they hired against you Balaam to curse you. Of course, the Lord your God turned the curse into a blessing for you, because the Lord your God loved you. But you shall never promote their welfare or their prosperity as long as you live. So this Moabite woman, who comes from a people that did not welcome God's people when they left Egypt, did not even offer them food or water. This Moabite woman, who isn't supposed to be welcomed into the people of God, this woman is loving neighbor with God's love. A God who may or may not accept her, for all she knows. But if God is Naomi's God, then that is what she wants, no matter what. Amazing. Will we walk with each other through the emptiness that comes our way? Will we love neighbors so much that we will love with God's love, faithful love, hesed, even those who are not our blood relatives? Will we love so much that we are willing to walk with those who feel broken in this world? Will we care for those who are swallowed up by emptiness? God loves us in this way. Jesus loved in this way. Maybe, just maybe, we can hear God say to us, as a Moabite says, where you go, I will go. Maybe we can hear God say, do not push me away. Do not think that I do not want to be with you. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. You are mine. Who you are, who you have been, and who you will be and can be, I love with my whole heart forever and always. The love of God made tangible and real through the other. May we be so blessed to have a Moabite woman in our lives. Thanks be to God.